said I'm an early bird. It's 10 o'clock before I say a word. Baby, I can never tell. How do you sleep so well? You keep telling me to live right, to go to bed before the daylight. But then you wake up for the sunrise. You know you don't gotta pretend. Baby, now and then, don't you just wanna wake up? Dark as a lake, smelling like a bonfire, lost in a haze. If you're drunk on life, babe, I think it's great.
Was Too Sweet by Hozier. I'm Alyssa Brush. I'm your co-host.
I'm Hannah Givens.
I'm Cecil Lapthorne.
And this is Campfire Stories. So we are all broadcasting students. We love this program. We are in our first year. So what got you guys into broadcasting?
So I joined broadcasting because I really want to become a screenwriter, but over the course of the program, I've learned that I really am into video editing as well. I've really enjoyed that. What about you?
Honestly, I've been really into video editing for a while. I like to just do it for fun. You know, I used to just stay up late and like edit YouTube videos that I never uploaded. But lately I've been really into like cinematography and photography and honestly writing as well, which I never thought I would be before. So yeah, what about you, Cece?
For me, I've been wanting to get into voice acting, and I guess this was kind of the best way for me to do it in a place nearby. But during like the courses of the last couple of semesters, I've also really enjoyed the editing, and I'm also really enjoying the like like the fake webcasts that we've been doing every week. I find those really, really fun.
Yeah, I really enjoy Jeff's classes where we do, you know, fake newscasts and everything. I love that. It's so
it's
fun.
It's really fun.
I'm actually going to be the anchor next week in our class, so I'm really nervous.
Same. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. But yeah, I think it really depends on like the professor that you have. It really helps. You know, pique your interest in the subject that you're doing.
Yeah, and our professors have been great this semester.
Yeah, they are. They're all amazing. I loved the ones first semester as well.
Yeah. Yeah, all of them have been just great.
Yeah.
So why did we choose this topic for our podcast?
I think just common interest. We've all really been into like spooky things. Even since like first semester, we like really bonded over that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It also kind of just gave us a chance to like, hey, let's do a show together. About what? We like spooky stories. Let's do that.
Yes, exactly. So how our podcast is going to work is we're separated into three segments. So our first segment, we're just going to be kind of talking, you know, lighthearted stuff, just about our program, stuff about us. And then our second segment is going to be a bit more fun. So that's where we kind of get more into the campfire stories aspect of things. So yeah, we have four stories today. So three are the scary ones. But then our last one is going to be a bit more lighthearted, you know, just so we don't leave you guys being a little too scared, you know.
We want to make sure that you can actually sleep at night.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Okay, they're not that bad though. It's okay. We won't give you nightmares.
Yet, we promise.
So yeah, we're going to move on to our second segment after the break. So coming up after the music break, we'll be heading into our campfire story section. So here is Scar Tissues by Red Hot Chili Peppers, live from the Media Hub.
Scar tissue that I wish. Thank you.
Was One More Round by Leah Daniels. Welcome back to our second segment of Campfire Stories. As you can see, the vibe has changed a little bit in here, you know, just to kind of get into
the mood
of it.
The atmosphere.
Set the vibe.
Yeah. So like I said before, we have four stories that we're going to be reading. We got all of our stories from Reddit. So I'll be reading the first story, Hannah will be reading the second, I'll be reading the third again, and then Hannah will read the last one, which is a bit more lighthearted. So our third story is going to be a bit longer of a one, but so yeah, our first one is actually has multiple parts to it, so I'll be reading part one this week, and then next week we'll be getting into part two, so it'll leave you on a bit of a cliffhanger. Okay, so the title of this one is, I've been flying for almost 30 hours, and the flight attendants won't stop crying. 30 hours ago, I hopped on a late-night flight from New York heading to Los Angeles. After boarding, I saw that I had an entire row to myself. Takeoff passed without incident, and soon I was stretched out for a nap across the row. I slept for a few hours, I don't know how long, but I woke up to some severe turbulence. It's possible that the lights in the cabin went out for a moment, but I was so disoriented that it's hard to say. I checked my phone to see that it was 4:03 a.m., which I figured gave me about enough time to sleep before an hour before we landed. When I looked out my window, I was shocked to see nothing but wide open ocean. My jaw dropped. There's obviously no ocean between New York and Los Angeles. I hit the button to call the flight attendant and spent the next few minutes racking my brain for a lake that could have possibly been big enough to explain what I was seeing. I jumped when the flight attendant flipped off the light. She was grinning from ear to ear, and tears were pouring down her cheeks. "How can I help you, sir?" she asked. I froze for a moment at her reaction before deciding to just ask my question. "Where are we? Why does it look like we're flying over an ocean?" She wiped her cheeks to clear the tears, still grinning wildly. "Sir, we'll be landing in about an hour." Okay, thank you," I said. After she left, I checked the clock on my phone again. 4:03 blinked back at me. It hadn't changed. I had to have been waiting with my call light on for at least 5 minutes. How was it possible that it hadn't changed at all? I opened up my laptop and saw it too displayed 4:03 a.m. I pulled out my phone, started a stopwatch in the app, and spent the next 2 hours looking back and forth between the clocks, waiting for them to change. They never did. I tapped the shoulder of an older woman sitting in the row ahead of me. She looked back, an annoyed expression across her face. "Yes?" she asked. "Do you know how long until we land?" I asked. She narrowed her eyes. "The flight attendant said that it would be another hour." I shook my head in confusion. "That flight attendant? We talked almost 2 hours ago. We should have landed already." She stared at me as if I was crazy. I was going to continue trying to convince her, but I felt a hand on my shoulder. I spun to see a male flight attendant grinning down at me, tears pinging off his cheeks onto my shoulders. Sir, I'm gonna have to ask you to calm down, or I'll be calling the captain. I told him that wouldn't be necessary and sat back down. He removed his hand and stepped away. The flight attendant continued to stop by every few hours offering meals. My stopwatch continued to tick and is now telling me that I've been on this plane for more than 30 hours. I've explored all of coach and tried talking to some other passengers, but they all told me that they're expecting to land in about an hour or so. Around 3 hours ago, I tried getting into first class. I made it past the curtain, but was escorted back by two grinning flight attendants. Their grip on my arm was like iron. Oh, sorry. "Sir, the seatbelt sign is on," one said. "Please remain in your seat with your buckles fastened. We'll be landing in about an hour." I'd just about given up when a woman came down the aisle dressed in a business suit. She didn't look at me or slow down, but she dropped a piece of paper onto my tray as she made her way to the bathroom at the back of the plane. I looked around before unrolling it. It said, "Are you stuck too?" I pulled out a pen and wrote, "Yes, it's been 30 hours. I folded the scrap piece of paper and set it on the tray closest to the aisle. She left the bathroom and picked it up as she passed. It's been 20 minutes since then. I don't know why, but I don't think the flight attendants would like if they knew we were talking to each other. It doesn't matter. I have to do something. I'll update you all with what happened next."
Well, that is terrifying.
That's so scary.
I know, right? Oh, so yeah, I haven't read part two yet, but I'm gonna read that next week. I'm honestly like, what the heck is going on? Like, yeah. I can't imagine being stuck on a plane for 30 hours. Like,
and no time has seemed to have passed.
Right?
Like, that's terrifying.
The longest I've been on a plane is 7 hours, and that was enough for me.
I've never been on a plane.
The longest I've been on a plane is 4 hours.
Oh my gosh, I can't.
And that was just to Cuba. That was from Toronto to Cuba. This person is going from what, New York to LA?
Yeah. Are they stuck in like a time warp or something?
What's with the ocean? Why are the flight attendants like grinning
and crying?
And
why do they keep telling him to sit down?
That's terrifying. I don't know what I would do in that situation.
Right?
And like, I want to know what's going on with that woman.
Yeah, she's stuck too. Like, what if she's been, like, stuck longer? And, like, because, like, years. I don't know. Because, like, he could have been felt like sleeping for a lot longer than he can imagine, you know?
Is he still asleep?
Maybe. It's a nightmare that doesn't end.
Oh, no. A nightmare that never ends.
Oh, my gosh. Alright, so next is Hannah's story, and it's a bit shorter, but equally terrifying.
So this one is called Shower Thoughts. So it's, "I got home right now after my shift at work and hopped in the shower. I heard my girlfriend's voice calling for me and knocking on my bathroom door, but I live alone at my apartment, and last time I checked, my girlfriend moved to another state and doesn't have a key to my apartment. So, who is outside right now calling for me? I'm too scared to open the door, but the knocking is slowly turning into banging. I don't think the door is going to last.
No, thanks.
Yeah, I'm good.
I would stay in there till I die.
Yeah. I would stay in there. I'd lock all the doors.
Yeah. If there's a window to lock the bathroom the for whatever reason, no, I'm jumping out of the window.
Okay, two different trains of thought.
No, I'm
two different people.
I'm going full force and I'm attacking the
two different trains of thought.
Yeah, the kind of
you have an entire bathroom full of supplies. You can find something.
There's surely like a hairdryer or something in there, yeah, or something that you can like blast in their face and then run away.
Yeah, no, or just hit them with it.
No, yeah, whack. Yeah. But
that works too.
The kind of fun thing about the end of that story, there's no like part two to it. But
yeah.
I think that same day, that was about 2 weeks ago, the same day, that same user posted a comment on another post. So we don't know what happened to them. Maybe they posted a comment in the shower, and then who knows what happened.
That's the last
they just disappeared off the face of the internet.
Oh my god.
That's terrifying.
All right. So this next story is kind of a long one, so hopefully you like the sound of my voice because you're going to be hearing it for a while. So this next one's title is, "The previous tenant of my new flat left a survival guide. I'm not sure I want to live here anymore." So yeah, this one is pretty scary. It's about a girlfriend and boyfriend. They just moved in together and there is a scary twist to it. So I moved in with my boyfriend yesterday. We've been together 5 years now, and we're old and wise enough to settle down and finally leave our parents' house. He just turned 24, and I'm 22. He's the love of my life. His name is Jamie, and I couldn't be happier to be living with him. When we decided to make the leap, we spent 2 months looking at flats and houses. We couldn't afford to buy anything yet, so renting was our only option, but the prices were astronomical. For our budget, we would have been lucky to get a box room and a stove. Jamie works for a local 24-hour fast food restaurant, and I'm training to be a teacher. The early stages of training don't pay much, and I owe a lot in student loans, so finances are tough. We had almost given up hope until we found our flat. It was nothing special, but to us, it was a palace. A spacious two-bedroom apartment with a balcony and views of a city park. It was a tower block in a not-so-nice area, but neither of us had been wealthy growing up, so we weren't fussy. Just grateful to be together. The advert was sweetened by the deposit-free option and open-ended tenancy. The landlord was happy to sign a 5-year contract if we wanted. That sort of thing never happens in the city. We were told that along with no deposit, we would also have no inspections, but we would be liable to pay for any damage that when we end the tenancy. I'd never heard of anything quite like it. We knew that for our budget and location, we weren't going to get any better. We snatched the place up fast, not even bothering to view it. It felt like our only chance. Move-in day rolled around quickly, and yesterday we got the keys to our first home together. It was such a strange feeling. The day was chaos, getting our stuff in and up in the elevator. We were flat number 42 on the 7th floor. The items we couldn't get into the elevator had to be taken up the stairs by the removal men. I think they were grateful we weren't any higher, but I still wish we were able to give them a better tip. In the evening, we settled down on our secondhand sofa and watched some TV. We smoked cigarettes on the balcony, looking at the park, and fell asleep on our mattress on the floor, super early because we had no energy to put the bed together yet, and Jamie had to work at a hideous time of the morning. We slept soundly last night. I felt safe and happy. I don't think that feeling is coming back anytime soon, and it's all due to the note I found this morning. I found it in the kitchen while having my coffee, hours after Jamie had left for his early shift at work. It was in one of the cupboards that were fixed to the wall. There were a bunch of useful items from the previous tenant, spare keys to the flat, and a set of tiny keys that locked and unlocked the windows, necessary for those with kids being this high up. Spare smoke alarm batteries, and a folded up piece of paper. The note was handwritten with "New occupier of flat 42" in beautiful cursive on the blank side. I opened it up and sat down to read. I can't really describe it to you, so I'm going to copy it out below. Dear new occupier, firstly, welcome to your new home. I lived here before you for 35 years with my husband. Unfortunately, he had an incident at home recently that I'd rather not discuss that claimed his life. My sister has now decided that I can't keep up with the demands of the property and has insisted that I move in with her and her husband. I was reluctant at first, but the stairs do kill me at my age, and without Bernie, it's filled with sadness. Anyway, you've lived here somewhere When you've lived somewhere as long as I have, it feels like a person that you know. You understand its personality and what makes it tick. I thought it was probably pertinent that I impart some of that knowledge on you. It's a wonderful home. Honestly, I have lived through best and worst years, and leaving it behind is very emotional. But if you were to survive and get the best out of it, then here are some steps you need to follow. 1. The landlord will never bother you. He doesn't visit, call, or communicate in any way, but make sure you pay your rent in a timely fashion always. I've only dealt with him once in 35 years, and let's just say I have never missed another rent day. Any repairs needed require you to speak to the agent that you rented the place with. 2. Do not use the elevator between 1:11 a.m. and 3:33 a.m. Just don't do it. This step is vital if you are to have a happy life here. It really is life or death. Don't do it. This has cost me and many others in the building greatly, and I would rather not elaborate on why you shouldn't do this. Just please don't do it. I cannot stress this enough. Wow. Don't do it, guys.
Don't do it.
Don't.
Very specific times. Like, yeah. What was it? Yeah. What was that? 1:11 and 3:33?
Yeah.
1:11 and 3:33.
That's very all specific. Right.
3. When you hear the strange animal noises coming from flat 48, don't question it. Mr. Prentice lives there, and he's a lovely chap. Don't be afraid to say hello to him in the corridor or on the stairs. He's old school, so he never risks the elevator. But whatever you do, don't check on him when you hear the noises. You'll know when you hear them.
Oh, that's that, I'm concerned.
Four.
Like a tiger up there? What's going on?
4. If you ever come across a window cleaner on the balcony, ignore him. He may seem like the nicest fellow you've ever had trying to sell you something at the door, but it really is best that you don't engage. He will go away if you ignore him, but he tries hard the first few times, so you'll need resilience. Whatever you do, don't offer him anything. No money, no hot drink. 5. Don't leave food scraps out. Throw them out or refrigerate them immediately. If you have small animals, it is imperative that you watch them eat and take away any leftover food immediately after they are done. 6. Don't communicate with any neighbors who claim to come from flats 65 to 72. These flats suffered a fire in the late 80s that devastated the whole floor. All the residents died in their homes. The building was mostly council-owned at the time, and they never bothered to renovate the flats. They've been empty ever since. But
so why are there voices? Why are there people claiming to be from there?
Yeah.
But sometimes
like some kind of ghost story.
Someone will knock at your door claiming to live in one of these flats and ask to borrow sugar. They will seem entirely average, but you must shut the door and lock it. I installed 2 extra security bolts.
That weirdly reminds me of like, I don't remember what it's called directly, but it's like a sequel to The Three Little Pigs where the big bad wolf is like, or like the big bad wolf, Three Little Pigs, sorry, from the wolf's point of view, and he's just going over to get like some sugar or some milk or something like that.
I think I know what you're talking about.
And that's why he destroys all the houses. It's just like, shoot.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Why did that remind me of that?
You know, just memories. It's okay. Yeah. Okay. 7. Simple one for you here. Keep a weapon in each room. Sometimes you follow all these steps and something still slips through the net. Better to be safe than sorry. 8. Stray hairless cats sometimes roam in the hallway. I know they're supposedly a special, expensive breed, but they don't belong to anyone. They're mostly harmless, but don't pick them up. Not unless you see one of those neighbors that claim to live in 65 to 72. Then, grab the cat and lock it inside with you. It'll burn your skin a little, but the cats are friendly, and I wouldn't want to see them hurt.
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I thought it was like, unless you see one of those neighbors that claim to be from this place to this place, then you just take the hairless cat and chuck it at them.
Oh my god. That's where I think I thought that too when I first read that. Okay. 9. There is no way to fix the damp patch on the ceiling in the bedroom. Sometimes it will turn a deep crimson and look quite concerning, but please try not to be alarmed. It doesn't drip, it doesn't get any bigger, and it's been there longer than I have. The landlord won't budge on it, according to the agents. I flagged it many times, even called the police the first night it changed color, but it was a waste of time. And it will be for you too. It's best to ignore it. 10. You can trust the postman. His name is Ian Flanders, and he's been the postman since before I moved in. He has his own key to the main door and delivers posts to every door every morning at 8:54 a.m. I can't include everything here or it'd become a novel, but if you have any questions, Ian will help you. 11. Finally, the first few weeks are the worst. You'll feel like you've made a mistake. I'm sure reading this you already do. But if you can get through it through the first few weeks, it really is a lovely block to live in. Every property has its quirks, and this one is a little extra special. But you can be truly happy here if you just take my advice. I wish you all the best. I really do. Yours truly, Mrs. Prudence Hemmings.
Wow.
What?
I'm not done yet.
Oh, God, there's more.
There's more.
But wait, there's more.
Yes, because remember, there's a girl who's reading.
Oh,
that
letter. Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Okay, so I don't really know what to think after reading the note. Hopefully it was some sort of joke, but the agents had said that the previous tenant was an elderly lady, and I can't see anyone named Prudence Hemmings attempting to play a practical joke on someone they'd never met. There were also parts of the notes I couldn't disprove. There was indeed a large damp patch above the bed that me and Jamie had already discussed reporting. No crimson, but it definitely existed. I had also commented on a beautiful sphinx cat roaming in the halls as we were moving in. I started to get seriously freaked out. Our dream, our beautiful little home, had just become the source of fear and confusion. I checked the time. It was 9:14 a.m. Shoot, out of time to catch the postman, Ian. When I opened the door to check, sure enough, two letters addressed to Mrs. Hemmings sat on the doorstep. At about 11:15 a.m., my worst fears were truly confirmed when a middle-aged-looking man carrying window cleaning equipment knocked on my balcony door. I ignored him. I didn't want to take the risk until I'd spoken to Jamie and showed him the note. I texted him already to rush home. I felt bad as the man rapped his knuckles against the door for over 10 minutes. But honestly, the longer it went on, the more I was terrified. My windows were sparkling due to the lack of curtains. I couldn't even hide from the gaze. I felt so exposed. He stayed for 30 minutes exactly and never stopped looking at me or knocking. He shouted the occasionally ultra-friendly line or humble request for a beverage in the heat through the door, but I did my best to avoid eye contact. When he finally left, I looked outside every window in the flat, but I couldn't see him on any of the other balconies or any equipment suggesting he was around. He had vanished completely. Jamie still hadn't texted me back. He must have been having a rough shift. It was a Friday, and they were always busy. It wasn't often that he didn't reply. He was due home in around an hour anyway. I read the note probably hundreds of times over. I tortured myself reading it for the next hour, desperately waiting for Jamie to come through the door and tell me it was all crazy and I should relax. I hoped for that so much. But Jamie never came. His shift should have finished around midday, but by 2 p.m. he still wasn't home. I panicked, I cried, I left over 100 voice messages on his phone, but got nowhere. I finally decided it had been long enough that calling his work wouldn't embarrass him. His boss told me that he had never turned up for his shift.
What?
I thought about it. What could have happened? And then it hit me. Jamie's shift started at 4 a.m. today. He would have left the flat at 3:15 a.m. and taken the elevator. I don't know what to do. I've tried to convince myself it was all just a big joke. Maybe Jamie wrote the note and got his boss in on it? A voice in my head kept telling me that he couldn't write like that, even if he tried, but I attempted to fool myself. It's getting late and he still isn't home. What if it's all true? I think we made a big mistake.
Clearly.
That's terrifying.
The fact that your boyfriend is currently missing, maybe you did make a mistake.
Maybe he should be home in an hour. Mm-hmm. I got a little bit scared. I felt like he wasn't coming.
Yeah.
Because do you remember in the letter it was like, don't go in the elevator 111 at 3:33 a.m.
Yeah.
Dang, bye, boyfriend.
Jamie.
Sorry, Jamie.
Bye, boyfriend.
Love you.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's pretty messed
up. Terrifying.
I know. The whole time I was reading it, I'm like, why is there so much like information to it? But then it's like, oh my God, it came all the way back around.
Yeah.
It's relevant.
It's all relevant. Yeah, that's really, really scary. After having those freaky stories, we now have a lighthearted one that Hannah is going to read. So this one is more like a funny story about camping.
It's a funny story to lighten the mood after that.
Yes.
Because we definitely need it after that one.
Okay.
All right. So this one is called, What Are Some Funny Camping Memories and Mishaps? I was camping with my family and sharing the smaller tent with my older brother. Early morning, I stumbled out of the tent to pee, half asleep, and I left the door open a crack. As I was walking back from the outhouse, I heard a high-pitched scream. Thinking it was my mother or sister, I ran back to the campsite to see what was wrong. Turns out the scream was actually my brother. A squirrel had crawled into our tent in search of food. All I see is my brother cowering outside the tent, trying to shoo the squirrel with a branch.
look of sheer terror on his face. We all had a pretty good laugh, except my brother, obviously, who knew he was afraid of squirrels.
That squirrel is rabid. Why was it attacking him? They don't even eat meat. I would be terrified, too. I don't blame my brother.
I think that look of sheer terror.
No, no matter like what animal, if it's like a bunny, a bird, a squirrel, if it runs at me, I'm running in the other direction.
Yeah,
I like. Yeah. Yeah, if an animal like comes to my tent in the middle of the night, I'm running.
Yeah, like
I can't blame him.
Yeah, it wasn't a look of sheer terror. It was a look of squirrel terror.
Oh my god,
that was on his face.
Squirrels. Scary squirrels.
Okay, so that was it for our campfire story segment. So after the break, we are going to be getting into a more lighthearted topic. So we left it to a surprise at the end, but we are going to be reading some funny quotes that our classmates have said out of context. We'll probably end up saying some context for them because they're just too good. But yeah, so now here is Take Me Home, Country Roads by John Denver, live from the Media Hub.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home. In my slept through my alarm again. Forget
That was Animal Noises by Biba Doobie.
So for our final segment, like we said before the break, we are going to be reading quotes that our classmates have said out of context. I mean, we are going to probably say
we're going
to
add some context.
We'll add a bit of context.
Just to hopefully the ones that are really funny.
Yeah, hopefully we don't need to add context to all of them.
Yeah. We wanted to make it fun, so we like put them in a box and we're going to like pick them out randomly and then read them. So the box is really big, but there's only like a few in there.
Yeah, we don't really have a lot.
So I'll go first.
All right.
Okay. There's one I hope I really get. I really hope I get.
No,
foundation.
Starting off with
says
a great
foundation
one.
Foundation with a country accent.
I think
no context needed.
Yeah, no context
no
needed.
Context
okay.
needed.
My go. This is why having kids. Oh.
Oh my God.
Oh. I don't even remember who said that.
That was our professor.
Ah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That checks.
Okay, Anna, it's you.
All right.
I'll get a good one. So this one was Jillian, our other member who will be joining us next week.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "No shiny jewelry." And Alyssa responded, "But what if I'm a star?"
She is a star.
That's right.
Yep. Alyssa?
Okay. Next. Ah, if I can open it. I get it. I'm a superstar and you're secretly obsessed with me.
No context needed.
Nope.
That was a professor quote.
But that was a great follow-up to the second quote.
Mm-hmm.
Or to the third
Sounds
one.
Like something I'd say.
No,
yeah,
it does.
It does.
Oh, in a good way.
Okay. This is also from a professor, I believe. You should suffer death because you like pineapple on pizza.
Wise quote.
Fair enough. Actually, I like pineapple on pizza.
Alyssa!
Sorry.
You should suffer death because you like pineapple on pizza. I'm joking. I don't like pineapple on pizza, but I'm not going to be like, oh my god, you like pineapple on pizza?
I'm not picky.
I am.
All right, fair enough. You cut pizza with scissors.
That she does.
I can vouch. I can vouch. I feel so naked right now because I ate my lipstick, and that was Alyssa.
Of course it was.
Your lipstick.
Your lipstick. Not the lipstick.
Okay, next. Oh, I'll be nice, even though you called me a homewrecker.
Okay, no context.
I don't even remember the context.
Neither,
I do.
I don't think I know the context. I don't think I ever knew the context.
Well, it was a classmate, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That one's ripped.
No, it's not. Classmate, you have an industrial grill in your house? Another classmate. Yes!
I remember that.
Yeah, I don't think I know the context
to
that
one.
That was
so fun.
All right. Pick
a good one. They're all good ones.
Pick another Alyssa quote.
I keep having dreams about this strange-looking man. And that was a professor quote.
That was like that quote, like, have you seen this man?
Yeah.
Have you seen this man?
I'm so glad I got this one.
Which one did you get? Which one
it's
is it?
It's not that funny, but it is. One of you.
Take your time.
One of you will name your kid Moth. I remember that. That was so fun. I really don't know why he said that.
Does anyone know? Oh, I grabbed another two-liner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the first class is so rowdy with Hannah throwing things and hitting people with chairs.
I don't know what provoked that.
You hit people with chairs?
Apparently.
You hit people
I could not
with chairs? Hannah,
allegedly.
How dare?
Okay.
How dare with the chair?
Sure.
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 Alright.
Have you seen Dumb and Dumber? You could work in that.
I remember that. I love that classmate.
I remember who they were speaking to. I don't remember who actually said it.
I remember
who
said it.
We'll talk. Oh my god, this is a Hannah Alyssa quote. Okay, Hannah, my uncle was born on April Fool's Day. Alyssa, the biggest joke who ever lived.
Damn. How dare.
Ouch.
How dare.
Guys, we are so funny.
We are so funny. One brain is better than too many brains. Correct. No truer words have ever been spoken.
I'm really curious on who said that.
Me too, honestly.
I remember who said that. I'll tell you after.
Okay.
My name is Green. Apple Green.
What?
That, again, was a professor.
Oh, Apple Green?
Our professors have really funny quotable moments, okay? Our professors are fun.
Wait, feel my knees.
And that one was you.
Just the quickness of it. Wait, feel my knees.
To be fair, my knee was hurting and it felt weird. And I was like, okay, is it popping out right now?
I don't know. Oh, here's another Alyssa quote. May the 4th be with you. Wait, no, it's April.
Why are these all me?
Because we have a lot of Alyssa quotes here,
you
Alyssa.
You say a lot of funny things.
You're funny, all right?
Thank you. Yeah, it's your punishment for being funny.
Yeah. Mm. How dare I?
You get quoted way too often.
Oh. I got to. Oh.
All right.
Make sure your knees don't fall off in response to you getting someone to feel
I'm
your
I'm
knees.
Not having knee pain anymore. I'm okay now.
She's okay, guys. She's not going to die.
She's all right.
I took it easy at the gym. this is a CC quote.
Oh, I love that.
I forgot that spoons existed.
I did forget that spoons existed temporarily. I don't remember the context behind that.
I don't either.
I believe I was with you. Because I think you were the one that put it in the
quotes chat. I was the one who quoted that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here's another Alyssa one.
Oh my god.
Grass, a single green blade.
She became a poet for a moment there.
It's because there was a piece of grass in my shoe, and I didn't know why.
They were so poetic about it.
Her name is Alyssa. She is a poet. She wrote that poem just to show it.
Yeah. This one's short. Yeah. This one's also Alyssa.
Oh my god.
This one is actually from last night. Ya fired.
Ya fired.
No, it's actually, ya fired.
Ya fired. Fired.
Damn. Sorry.
You buy it. I'm pretty sure you sent that to me. That was aimed towards me because I wasn't really doing anything in the Discord call.
Another Hannah quote. I love my job.
I love my job. Okay. There is two more in here. I think I picked up another Alyssa quote.
Hmm.
I did. This girl is a certified yapper.
I was talking about myself.
About herself.
And you said it with
night.
Pride.
Yeah.
All right, last
piece
one.
Of paper.
What is it gonna be? What is he, Mario?
What is he, Mario? That was from Jillian.
That was from Jillian.
What is he, Mario?
What is he, Mario?
Yes. Oh yeah. We have another co-host that will be here next week. Her name is Jillian. We
Fortunately,
love her.
She cannot be here today, but she will be here next week.
We're excited to see her next week here. Yeah. All right, so yeah, that is it for this week's episode. Make sure you tune in next week on Tuesdays from 1 to 2. And follow us on Instagram, campfire.stories.podcast. So next we will be playing Could You Be Loved by Bob Marley, live from the Media Hub.
picture, picture, picture.